Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Wednesday, August 29th. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for Bill Buckmaster. Hi, Bill, if you're listening. And just a reminder, if you miss a portion of the show, you can always find it on Bill's website, buckmastershow.com. Today, on the show, we'll be talking all things political. Arizona held its primary yesterday, and now we know who will be facing off against each other in the general election come November 6th. I'm joined in the studio by Arizona Daily Star political reporter Brady McCombs. Brady has years of experience covering news along the U.S.-Mexico border for the Star and was tapped this year to cover this incredibly busy election season. And we also have Ray Carroll, who last night secured a fifth term on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Ray is a Republican and defeated challenger Sean Collins in the primary race. And because there's no Democratic candidate for the District 4 seat in November, he can now watch how other races unfold. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
And before we get started, I just want to take a moment to explain something. Brady and I both work for The Star. Brady is a news reporter. He works for the Metro Desk, writes for the front page all the time, and he does news things. I, on the other hand, am an editorial writer, which means I write opinion pieces, editorials, the endorsements that you see when The Star endorses something. Brady doesn't have anything to do with that, just to make everyone clear that Brady is the news guy, I'm the opinion person, and so I just want everyone to be aware of that. And Ray is on the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
I'm the commentary person.
Yes, you are. You are very good at commenting. So before we begin, I want to also invite listeners to call in. Our number is 790-2040, 790-2040. Brady, could you kind of give us the rundown on voter turnout, how this did for the primary season?
Pretty light voter turnout here in Pima County. It was 31%. Those are the up-to-date numbers we have. Statewide, it was even less, 23%. And like we've been seeing in recent elections, most of those votes were cast by early ballot, anywhere from 75 to 80-some percent, depending on the race. So most of the votes that were cast had already been sent in yesterday.
Do we have any sense of when early – is there like an arc of early voting returns? Do people turn them in as soon as they get them, or do they wait?
Well, I'll answer that. I believe that in the Republican primary this year especially, a lot of people are holding their ballots. It was due to the number of sheriff candidates is what I was told by many voters. Got a lot of phone calls asking me who I thought would be the best sheriff candidate. And I said, "Is that what's holding your ballot in your home?" And they said, "Yes." And I said, "Well," I gave them my recommendation. It happened to be the guy who won, Mark Napier, and that was one most of all because I chased ballots. I knew the list. We would get a list every other day of who hadn't sent back in their ballots. So when we began to find people and ask them, "Why are you still holding your ballot? You know, you've got to get it in. If you don't, if you turn it in on the day of the election as a walk-in drop-off, it's a provisional ballot. They have to compare your signature against the one on file. It could delay your vote from being counted until maybe today, maybe tomorrow." And most of all, it was people saying that there was a lot of research and confusion about which of these sheriff candidates could be the best person in the general election, and in my opinion, for the Republicans.
From my recollection, we haven't really had a very active Republican sheriff's primary, and as far as I can remember. Ray, is that?
Well, that's true, and in fact, Clarence Dubnyk had been unopposed in many campaigns, as I recall, in his Pima County years of service. But in the end, I would think that this is still the Republican primary, and there were five candidates. It was a wide open field, and I do think that the best man won in the end.
So, Brady, I wanted to ask you about voter registration. The state Secretary of State Ken Bennett's office released some figures recently, and it showed that voter registration was going down, as I recall.
Yeah, I think it was just a natural ebb and flow of cleaning up the voter rolls by the counties. But the voter registrations are interesting to look at in terms of these state races we now have in the general election, like the Senate. Republicans have a pretty good advantage. I think it's about 6 percentage points, about 180,000 more voters than Democrats. And in fact, there's more independent voters now than Democrats as well. Independents make up about 33% of the vote. Independents have been growing rapidly over the last two decades.
And Ray, have you run into independent voters who just grew tired of party politics on both sides or all sides?
Well, sure. I'm aware on both sides. There's a lot of people who would, because Arizona has the option now of picking up a Democrat or a Republican ballot in the primary, that gives you walk in, you can choose at the polling place if you're going to vote that way, or you can request an early ballot that is either Republican or Democrat. So the independents have an advantage there. They get to play in either field, whichever one's probably more interesting to them or more important to them is the one they've selected. So I see more and more people becoming independent, and it is concerning, but I think it's also it's an opportunity for candidates to be able to make their message less on the fringe and more into the middle for a campaign. And I think it's had its rewards for those people that have had a centrist campaign, a populist understanding of voter turnout as well as voter interest. And independents do make a difference in primaries now.
I wanted to just remind listeners, you're listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star filling in for Bill Buckmaster. I'm joined in the studio by Brady McCombs, who's the political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star, and Ray Carroll, who is the newly elected fifth term, is that right?
That's my fifth term, and I hope the people can feel me smiling through the airwaves here.
We are blinded. The smile on this man.
Thank you very much.
I'm pleased to
be able to have pulled down one more victory. And I wanted to thank all those who voted for me up until yesterday in the election cycle. And I also want to thank some, especially one lady, and that's Jackie Egan, who's been a very important supporter of mine over the years. We dedicated this race to Evelyn Ekram, who passed away on February 13th, who has always been my great friend and champion. So Jackie and I were very happy to be able to pull this one one more time on the board to continue our service to this community.
Great. I wanted to turn to some of the statewide races. We had some real giant numbers, Brady, I think you could say, especially for Senate. Could you kind of run us through the Senate race?
Yeah, in the U.S. Senate Republican primary, Jeff Flake, who's a congressman, he's been in Congress for six terms, handedly defeated Will Cardin by 48 percentage points. Will Cardin put in nearly $8.8 million of his own money to bankroll an aggressive campaign trying to paint Jeff Flake as a Washington insider and somebody that needed to be ousted. Cardin painted himself as a businessman outsider that could go in there and break up the, quote, old guard in Washington. But it didn't work. Flake won easily. Flake now moves on to face Richard Carmona of Tucson. Carmona was unopposed in the Democratic primary. That's going to be a really, really good race between Richard Carmona and Jeff Flake. Flake obviously goes into it with the built-in advantage of the Arizona electorate, 180,000 more Republican voters than Democrats. But both will probably have plenty of resources financially. They've already both kicked off their campaigns today. Richard Carmona is up with a TV ad telling his story of growing up poor in New York, going into the Army, becoming a decorated combat veteran, trauma surgeon, the U.S. Surgeon General under President Bush, and now he's making his first ever run for office as a Democrat.
He seems to me to be the kind of candidate, just generally speaking, that has sort of a centrist appeal. You know, I mean, he served in a Republican administration. He's running as a Democrat. But for when he first announced, as I recall, he didn't make a big deal that he was a Democrat. It was kind of hard to even find that out from his press releases.
Well, and Dr. Carmona was an independent for many, many years until, I believe, 2 years ago when he registered as a Democrat. And I think that some Dems think that that's part of his appeal. Again, we just talked about the huge block of independent voters here, 33% of the state's voters. That's the path to victory probably for a Democrat in the state, is getting a lot of that independent vote. So I think that's what they're banking on with Dr. Carmona in this race. But Jeff Flake is he's a very strong candidate, as you saw from yesterday's results. He has a lot of financial backing, he's going to be a difficult candidate to beat. And like I said, he has that built-in advantage of the state's electorate. But it should be a really, really good race.
Right. Ray, what do you think about – were you surprised that the Flake-Cardin margin was so big?
I was. I obviously know that $9 million was a huge amount of money to spend against a six-term incumbent congressman. Jeff Flake I'd endorsed over a year ago. I think Jeff Flake has been a sincere and capable leader. He's obviously against pork barrel spending. He's obviously got some other keystone issues that are important to Republican voters. But at this time now, it's no wonder that Rich Carmona is going to downplay his Democratic label. What Rich is going to probably try to do is, you know, take the DeConcini tack to the U.S. Senate. He's trying to make himself look a centrist from outside the Maricopa County Beltway, someone from out of the state of Maricopa that can do the kind of campaigning, I think, statewide. Rich has got a lot of energy. I've known Rich a long time. As you might recall, he worked for Pima County for years and years as I was on the board first in 97. So Rich Carmona, I think, has got a good story to tell, obviously, a good biography. And Jeff Flake is, on the other hand, a solid conservative that's run six times, used to work for the Goldwater Institute before that. He's a very likable family person, and none of the negative things that Cardin tried to pin to him stuck. And it's not because he's Teflon. It's just because he's a decent, honest man who people just didn't believe the rhetorical, attacks that Cardin was making.
And speaking with Jeff Flake last night, he said, I asked him what he thought was the key to that big win, and he said he thought that Will Cardin's negative attacks were just too over the top, too outlandish, and that people didn't take him seriously, and that it backfired.
Ah, okay. Well, I wanted to remind our listeners that you can call in and be part of this conversation. The number is 790-2040, 790-2040. And I wanted to say we will be pausing for these commercial breaks, and then we will be right back with me, Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, Brady McCones, a political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star, and Ray Carroll of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Hi, we're back. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star filling in for Bill Buckmaster. Again, I'm sure you're listening, Bill. Hello. We all say hello. I'm here with Ray Carroll of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, District 4, and Brady McCombs, our political reporter over at the Arizona Daily Star. I wanted to say that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. It's a true continuing care retirement community. And you can come and learn more about Splendido over breakfast at Hilton Tucson East on Thursday, September 20th at 9:30. RSVP and say you heard about this on the Buckmaster Show and give a call at 762-4090. That's 762-4090. Learn more at SplendidoTucson.com. I just like saying Splendido. It's fun. All right. We have a caller, Chuck, who is calling about mail-in ballots. He has a question and some thoughts on that. Welcome to the show, Chuck.
Thank you very, very much. Yes, this morning while I was listening to Wake Up Tucson, I heard something very disturbing on that, on the mail-in ballot processing, that they were saying that I guess it's at the county level where they receive the ballots, and they're actually opening them up and actually counting them on a daily basis and keeping a tabulation of their count on a daily basis.
Well,
and that really bothers me.
Well, I can see how that idea would bother you, but let's go to Ray Carroll, who's served many years on the Pima County Board of Supervisors and has some information about that.
Well, Chuck, my understanding is they're not allowed to open those ballots until actually it is election day. So that's what takes the time to open those ballots and count them, that those mail-in ballots. I'm not sure who the expert was from that show this morning, but I can assure you that if you'd like to call down to Pima County, they could explain to you how that process works. There are not just judges, but there's observers from all parties that are in place during the elections division count. So, Chuck, I'm not sure, was it a caller or a host? It doesn't matter. You need to call Pima County yourself. If you just want to call my office, 740-8094, I'd be happy to take your message and have someone from the elections call you back and make sure that you're comfortable and assure you that There's no running tally. There's no insider information that I'm aware of. And thank you for the call.
And Brady, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, Chuck, one thing you do see in the papers, which the Pima County Recorder's Office sends out, is a tally of early ballots turned in but by party. So they're not counting the votes early, but you will see us reporting on that, you know, 135,000 early ballots have been turned in, 50,000 of those are Republicans, 30,000 Democrats, et cetera. But that's just a county a party breakdown, but not actually counting the votes.
And that's one of the ways the parties know who has returned a ballot. They get reports, and they don't know what the ballot says, but they can then do some follow-up and say, hi, you have an early ballot out. What is it that's keeping you? Like, Ray, as you were saying earlier about people were kind of hung up on the whole primary with the Republican sheriff's choices.
That's correct. My crew, which included family members and friends, we were down at a friend's office, and at night we would call off of 8 lines and talk to many, many people who we knew still had their ballots out. So you can get a name, you can get a phone number off the voter rolls as you're waiting for those ballots to be returned in the mail. So, Chuck, I encourage you again to call my office, and I'll put you in touch with the people at the Elections Division. If you'd like to call the County Administrator's office right now, call 740-8751, and you can ask him or anyone in that office to refer you to the person who could explain the situation better to you.
So I wanted to turn now. Thank you, Chuck, for calling. We really appreciate that. It was a really interesting question, and I'm sure something that a lot of people need clarification about. I wanted to turn to Congressional District 2, which is now going to be Republican Martha McSally, who's new to the process, and facing Democrat Ron Barber, who is new to politics and the elected end of things. He's a 2-month incumbent. Is that right?
Right.
And but he's obviously been involved with Gabrielle Giffords' office for a long time. So, Brady, what do you think about this race? What do we look for now?
Well, first of all, both scored huge victories last night. Ron Barber defeated State Representative Matt Hines by 65 percentage points in the Democratic primary, and Martha McSally won her Republican primary by 64 percentage points over Mark Koskinemi, who was a political newcomer. So both enter the general election with some momentum. Ron Barber obviously is the incumbent. He has a fundraising edge of about $250,000 on Martha McSally right now, but Martha has brought in some money. A key question in this race will be what the National Republican Congressional Committee does. They've already pledged $900,000 to the CD1 race, Jonathan Payton versus Ann Kirkpatrick, to back Jonathan Payton, the Republican there. And many people are wondering if they'll get involved in this CD2 race. As you remember, in the CD8 special election, they put in, the NRCC did, more than $1 million to back Jesse Kelly. Jesse Kelly came up short against Ron Barber. But on a conference call today with the Republican National Congressional Committee, they're high on Martha McSally and her story. She's a retired Air Force colonel, first woman in the Air Force to fight combat. But we'll see if they get involved in the race, because if the NRCC gets involved in the race, then she'll have plenty of money. Republicans have a slight advantage in this new CD2 district, about 2%. They used to have a 6% advantage in the old CD8, so it's not the Republican stranglehold it was, but the Republican advantage is about 2%. When the Independent Redistricting Committee estimated the numbers, it was about almost negligible, the Republican advantage. But when actual voter registration numbers came out this last couple months, it turns out that there are 2% more Republicans in that district. But again, Ron Barber's the incumbent. He's Gabrielle Giffords' handpicked successor. He has a lot of supporters in the district. So it'll be a really interesting race, but certainly Martha McSally has an interesting story. She is a newcomer to politics, mm-hmm. so that's always an unknown. You don't know how they're going to perform in a campaign like this. But it should be a good race.
Ray, what do you think?
I've been very impressed with Martha McSally. I've listened to her speak. I've had interviews with her one-on-one. She's 18 years old, joined the academy, and never looked back. She's got a great resume and a curriculum vitae of life that includes degrees from Harvard. She taught at the War College. She took on Donald Rumsfeld over the burqa issue that people from military service in the Middle East had to wear appropriate attire, and she didn't feel that would be appropriate for her.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt. We're coming in on a break. I wanted to just sort of get your thoughts. I think can all agree that she has a compelling life story. I want to, if we can talk about her going forward with the race. I mean, newcomers in the sense that Ron hasn't run for office really before, except in the special election, and this is Martha's first go-round too, except for the primary. We are headed into a commercial break. I just wanted to say thank you once again for tuning in to the Bill Buckmaster Show. And I am Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star, being joined in the studio by Ray Carroll of the Pima County Board of Supervisors and Brady McCombs of the Arizona Daily Star's political team. We'll be back talking more about politics as we go forward, and then we'll also hear from the Southern Arizona Humane Society coming up. Thank you.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Officials in New Orleans say they're imposing a dusk-to-dawn curfew as Isaac continues to lash the city on the 7th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Isaac has now been downgraded to a tropical storm, but officials say don't get complacent. They say the storm is still plenty dangerous. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal says coastal officials may intentionally break a levee on the east bank of the flooded Plaquemines Parish to relieve pressure. Jindal says there's no estimate as to when that might happen. He says as many as 40 people are reportedly in need of rescue in that area. Republican Party officials have been keeping in touch with governors from states affected by Isaac. The storm has already forced the schedule at the party's convention in Tampa to be rearranged. Wall Street, the Dow up 23 points. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for Bill, although no one can truly fill Bill's shoes or seat. And I wanted to welcome back Brady McCombs, political reporter from the Arizona Daily Star, and Ray Carroll, our District 4 newly elected or supervisor on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. You won your election last night, and you have no challenger in December, so you are free to relax.
Right. November 6th, I'm unopposed, so I look forward to getting involved in some other campaigns.
And I wanted to say that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, and there's arts, hiking, birding, Silver City's historic downtown, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Do make a wonderful and cool mountain getaway this Labor Day weekend. In fact, I have a friend who has grew up in Silver City, just came back from that area for a family wedding, and she said it was beautiful. There's plenty of great places to stay, including the Little Toad Creek Inn and the Continental Divide RV Park. So for more information, log on to southwestnewmexico.org. We were talking before the break about the Congressional District 2 race between Ron Barber, the Democrat, and then Martha McSally on the Republican side. And we were talking, I think we all agree, she's got a very compelling story. But looking forward as a new candidate, what do you think about how, you know, her future there?
The question I think many people have about Martha is, does she have the experience politically, and does she know the district and its people well enough in this race? She's going up against Ron Barber, who has campaigned on both of his elections now about his deep roots and his extensive knowledge of the community, the district, and its people. He's been here for a very long time, working behind the scenes with Gabrielle Giffords, and then now he's a congressman. So that, I think, is the big question that people will have about Martha McSally, and she certainly feels that she does. She's lived here on and off 10 years. Of course, she was in the Air Force, so she had to move around. She said she's been studying up and knows the issues. But that's probably the big question surrounding her candidacy.
I wanted to we have a caller who may sound familiar on the Buckmaster Show. It's actually Bill Buckmaster. Welcome, Bill, to your own show.
Thank you, Sarah. You are doing a fantastic job. And hello to Ray and hello to Brady. And I just had a couple of quick comments about the election. By the way, it is really hard not being down there at the studio, but I am recovering from surgery. It's going well. I will be back live in studio next Tuesday.
So aren't you supposed to be taking time off, like, you know, chilling, not, you know, stress?
Hard. That's pretty hard for a type A control freak like Bill Buckmaster.
Okay, who talks about himself in the third person now.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, Bill. Please go ahead.
Okay. The election with Flake and Cardin, I cannot believe that Cardin dropped over $9 million of his own money for about 20% of the vote. Can you imagine the good that could have been done in this state with $9 million?
That is a very, very good point. It's kind of mind-boggling to think about.
Also, I want Ray, if he would, to weigh in on the Ally Miller-Nancy Young-Wright matchup. That's going to be very intriguing. I think we have Nancy Young-Wright scheduled for the show tomorrow, and I think Ally Miller as well. So, Ray, what do you think of that?
Well, obviously, it was a four-way race up there in District 1. The big surprise in that race in the primary was Vic Williams, who loaned himself $125,000, kind of a Cardin Jr. move there for the number of votes at probably about the same cost per vote. Wow. He really spent some of his own money. He had signs littered all over the rights of way. But I think his statements about Chick-fil-A and Rosemont Copper being comparable and other things that Vic Williams had lined himself up with, his own bills, certain things that the people, they didn't resonate well, and the people rejected that. Stuart McDaniel barely made a dent. He came out strong in the beginning, calling himself the conservative Republican, thinking that, you know, he would pick up the nomination if he were to be the most conservative. And Mike Helen, who you know has 20-plus, well, maybe 30 years of campaign organizing and national committee politics, really was overtaken by Allie Miller. And she has obviously picked up about 30-some, 37% of the vote to take this into the general election. And now she has to either decide to bring herself into the center and try to become a little more centrist in her appeal, because Allie Miller is labeled as a Tea Party patriot, and on the other side, Nancy Young Wright is a person who's held office, been elected to not just the school board but the state legislature up there in that district. So she has a voter appeal that she's going to have to overcome a 10-point-plus underdog status to knock off Allie Miller, and we'll see how it works out for her. Obviously, I think Allie Miller will be the beneficiary of a part of the independent expenditure that we've been reading about in the local papers and hearing about, as far as a group of people that are encouraged by the fact that if they get 3 votes on the board, they can remove Chuck Huckleberry, and I think that's the operation that she's going to work within. So will they allow her to become more centrist? I'm not clear yet, and I'm not sure.
Brady, do you have any insights that you want to share about that race?
I think Ray covered it, but on the Will Cardin thing, I just wanted to add, yeah, because I spoke to him last night after the results came in, and the $8.8 million that he poured in was clearly one of the big talking points of this election season. It was such a huge amount of money, and he kept pouring in more and more and more. And I asked him if he regretted having put that much money in, and he said, no, not at all, that he was beholden to nobody, that he had put, as he says, skin in the game. And he said, I consider this a, quote, beginning, not the end. He was a little – I'd asked him, does that mean you'll run for office again? And he didn't really say on that one. But just interesting comments, I think, from him about where he's at with the money he's put in. He's obviously – he's runs his family's business, which apparently does quite well up in Mesa. He runs the real estate investment arm of that. But it was a lot of money.
That is huge. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of money to spare?
Sure. And clearly, as Bill mentioned, people talk about those kind of things. What could you have done with $8.8 million? I mean, if you would have divvied that up to other races, that's one of the talking points, that he could have helped local candidates all over the state win local races with that. But right. It's done now, and so we'll just have to see if we hear from Will again in the future. But he was soundly defeated this time by Jeff Flake.
And before we get too far along, we need to talk about Congressional District 3, Raul Grijalva and Gabriela Saucedo Mercer. This one was on the Democratic side, I don't know that it was really a surprise that Grijalva won his primary, but this is going to be one interesting race, and it has been already. So, Brady, what can you tell us about the latest with that?
Yeah, Saucedo Mercer, she appears that she's going to be going after Raul, and Raul will be going after her. Saucedo Mercer has been in the news this morning and yesterday about some comments she made about Middle Easterners, and she, I think, said that they were taken out of context.
Yeah, I have the quote here. If she said, that includes Chinese, Middle Eastern. She was being asked about immigration, people coming across the border, and she said, that includes Chinese, Middle Easterners. If you know Middle Easterners, they look Mexican or like a lot of people in South America, dark skin, dark hair, brown eyes, and they mix in. And those people, their only goal in life is to cause harm to the United States, so why do we want them here? So either legally or illegally. So that was a direct quote from Saucedo Mercer on the Grijalva video.
Yeah, so she's off to an interesting start. And irregardless of what she says and what she does, she's competing in a district where the Democratic advantage is just overwhelming. There's about 114,000 registered districts in the new CD3 compared to 59,000 registered Republicans. So Raul is not only the incumbent, but he has a huge advantage in voter registration. And on that conference call, another interesting point today with the National Republican Congressional Committee, they were asked about the CD3 race, and they said that that's not really in their plans now. So she's got a big uphill road to climb. Raul's, you know, he's the heavy odds on favorite there.
What about, Ray, when looking northward into Maricopa County, Russell Pierce was knocked off his bid to come back into the state Senate. And his brother, I think it is, was also lost his bid to for a seat or a spot on the ballot on the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. I was just wondering briefly, since we only have about a minute left, if you could just talk about, is this a change in voters' moods that people are kind of just tired of the whole ideological purity? I don't know. Is this a sea change?
Well, I just have to tell you that I'm not happy with the intolerance, especially shown from Republicans. If you want to build a party, you need to attract more people to the party. The politics of Russell Pierce and other people like that that were obviously intolerant of and gave a bad impression of the Republicans to minority groups especially has really hurt the party. So it's in the end a rejection of Russell Pierce type of, politics or race baiting has obviously been defeated in Maricopa County. It still exists probably in other parts of the state. And lastly, I can say that there are some locals that continue to say things that don't surprise me.
Well, that is all the time we have for our election wrap-up after the day after the primary. And here in Tucson, Arizona, I would like to thank Brady McCombs, political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star, and Pima County Board of Supervisors returnee, Ray Carroll.
Thank you.
For joining me in the studio here on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than two file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at CoxBusinessAZ.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Hi, welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show. I'm Sarah Garrett-Gasson, filling in for Bill. I'm here with Samantha Esquivel from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. I always get that mixed up. I'm sorry, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. But you're here to talk about a special fundraising challenge that the Humane Society is doing. And I also just, I have to get my own little plug in here. I know everyone knows that the Humane Society, you can adopt dogs and cats, but I go to the Humane Society quite often to adopt rodents, pocket pets. I've gotten guinea pigs, rats, mice, gerbils, hamsters, and it's just a great thing that the Humane Society does to give these guys a second chance. So I just want people to know that it's not only dogs and cats. Someone even tried to get me to adopt a duck once, which wasn't going to work out with my wiener dogs at home. But yeah, but anyway, I just wanted to say that. So welcome to the show. And could you tell us a little bit about this ASPCA challenge?
Yes, we're very excited about it. So we are working with Rachel Ray in the ASPCA Challenge. It's the 100K Challenge. And what we're trying to do essentially is we are trying to adopt out 3,000 animals by October 31st to their forever homes. And it's kind of a national competition, so we're very excited about it. The winner ends up getting $100,000 for their shelter. And so it's just something that everyone is really excited about. We're all working together and with the community as well. So
is it difficult to get people to adopt animals rather than go to, you know, like for a breeder or designer sort of dog or cat?
Yeah, it absolutely is, because a lot of times the animals that we get aren't necessarily all puppies. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to adopt out older dogs. Sometimes they might have a little behavioral issue that they need to be that people need to work with. But it does get a little bit more difficult. But nonetheless, animals are always getting adopted out.
And I've always kind of wondered this when I go in to adopt my little rodents. If I see families, getting to know a dog or thing, you know, or a cat, mostly dogs out in the yard, if it doesn't work out with an existing dog in the home or something like that, I don't want to say, can you bring them back? But what are you supposed to do? How do you prevent that from like a bad match? Is there anything that someone who's looking to expand their family could do?
Well, it's always really intimidating when you first want to think about adding another dog to your family. And people always ask questions, well, what if it doesn't work out or what if something happens? But generally when someone comes and they already have an existing dog in the household, we like for them to bring that animal down. And when they find an animal at the shelter that they really like, what we like to do is called a dog introduction or a family introduction with the pet. And at that point, what we'll do is we'll get them together in a yard. It's neutral territory, so no one's going to be a little hasty because it's neutral.
Right.
And from that point, determining whether or not they're behaving really well with each other or not, then we kind of determine if it'll be a good match. And sometimes it's not when they get them into the home. So we like to say generally 3 to 6 months would be a good time.
And another thing, you mentioned older dogs and cats. Everyone seems to want puppies and little guys, but just speaking for myself, I love older dogs and cats and mice and guinea pigs and gerbils and the rest. There's just something about, I don't know, their spirit somehow. Do other people find that?
I definitely think so, because when you get an older dog, they already have their own behavior and they're not necessarily so impressionable. So a lot of people like that, though, and they're already house trained and they already have their good doggy manners. So canine college isn't necessarily something that they'll need. But you bring up a really good point. A lot of times people aren't looking for puppies. And so that's the beauty in the Humane Society, where we have a variety of different breeds and dogs and so many different personalities for different people.
So are there anything that the Humane Society is doing to try to get, I mean, is 3,000 animals adopted out by October 31st? How does that compare to like a normal schedule of adoptions?
Well, it is a little bit more. It's pushing it a little bit. But that's our goal, essentially. That's what we want to hit. And the reason for that is because that's how much we have in intake. And it's pretty reasonable. And right now, we're on target with where we need to be. And so we just need to keep our head in the game. And like we say, it's a marathon. It's not a race. So at that point, we are always calling on the community. They're a backbone for situations and competitions like this.
And I know that a lot of times college just come back in session. College students adopt dogs or cats thinking, oh, it's going to be great, and then it does not turn out, or they change to a different apartment, the landlord won't let them have an animal. What do you think about that?
Well, we try and avoid those situations as much as possible because it's not only stressful for the animal, but it's stressful for the students or for people who aren't entirely confident when they first adopt. So we like to have a profile, which is something that a potential adopter will come in and fill out. They talk about how many dogs they have in the home, how many kids. And with that, what we like to do is we like to match dogs that would fit into their home best. So that's our way of avoiding it. You can't always avoid it, but we like to take that extra precaution.
And could you tell us if there's a website where you could go and maybe look at which animals are available for adoption, who's looking for a home, and then if there's a phone number people can call for information about adoption?
Absolutely. You can go to hssaz.org. And we have a whole list of different pets on there that are up for adoption. And we also have some hidden gems where we like to put animals in our offices who are a little bit stressed out at first. And so they're on there as well. And then also our phone number is 327-6088.
And for people who are thinking about maybe adopting a dog or a cat or a rodent or a anything, because you guys get a lot of different animals coming in. And I have to say, I just really do, as someone who appreciates pocket pets, I really do appreciate that someone is out there who takes them and doesn't just consider them as sort of throwaway animals, because people don't give them enough credit. Okay, my soapbox is over.
I'm glad you noticed that, though, because a lot of times people don't realize that we do have bunnies and reptiles. And what we can keep at the Humane Society, we do. And if we can't, we've managed to build relationships with other people within the community who specialize in reptiles or specialize in wildlife. So I'm glad that you are recognizing that.
Yeah, yeah. It's in fact, I'd like to give a tiny shout out to the mice and the rat that yes. I adopted recently.
That's awesome.
So I'm sure they're listening because, you know, mice and rats like to listen to the radio. So what are some – do you have any kind of – is there like a typical dog that comes in? Is it a dog that's large or small, or are there all different kinds?
Well, we definitely get a variety, but for the most part, a lot of times we are getting those pit bulls. We are getting a lot of older pit bulls that are past that puppy stage but not quite an adult, so around the 1 or 2 years of age. And that's just because they've lost their cuteness, but they're super energetic. So people are, you know, they're getting a little flustered, not entirely sure what to do with them. So we get a lot of those.
And what about other ways to donate? If you're not able to take an animal into your home but you still want to contribute, do you need dog food? Do you take cat toys? What kind of other things can someone do to help the Humane Society of Southern Arizona?
Oh, there's a variety of ways. You can always come in, bring in any sort of food. You can bring any sort of collars or anything. We do have a wish list that is on our website, and it lists a whole bunch of different things that we are in need of. And if anything, we can't necessarily use it at the shelter. It can always go down to our thrift store where it can be sold there as well.
So when you say food, I'm guessing that means closed, not unopened bags of food, not my dog didn't like this, here, have an open bag of food.
Nope, we'll take the open stuff
as
well.
Oh, you will? Okay.
Yeah, because everything gets used, so.
That is great to know. All right, well, thank you very much, Samantha, for coming in from the Southern Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
Thank you for having
Wanted
me.
To thank you for listening to this hour of the Bill Buckmaster Show. I'm Sarah Gasson, Arizona Daily Star, and I wanted to also say that the bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available for your home or business. Thank you very much.
1030 KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.